Here it's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Voters in Wisconsin are casting their ballots on this partisan primary election day. Polls are open until 8 this evening.
In the lead up to the primary, WPR compiled a voter guide with candidate responses on a variety of issues. You can find that guide at WPR.org/elections.
And tomorrow on the show, our politics team will provide a full recap of primary election results and analysis as we head into the fall midterms.
Now, turning to our state's workforce. More college-educated workers move out of Wisconsin each year than move in, leading to what economists call brain drain.
A new report from the Wisconsin Policy Forum finds that Wisconsin has the second biggest net loss of young educated workers in the country, just behind North Dakota.
In a bit, we'll hear from an economist about how this affects rural communities around the state.
But first, Joe Pietrangelo is research director for the Wisconsin Policy Forum. He's one of the authors of this report called Brain Drain Erodes State's Talent Potential. Joe, welcome back to Wisconsin Today.
Thanks. It's good to be here.
Give us a working knowledge of brain drain and how you measure this for Wisconsin in this report.
Yeah, so in this report, we compare the share of adults with bachelor's degrees or advanced degrees who were born in Wisconsin and now live in another state, who we refer to as leavers, with the share with bachelor's degrees who were born in other states and now live in Wisconsin, who we call entrants. And so we compare those rates of college attainment. And that's where we find this big gap between those who leave Wisconsin and those who enter Wisconsin, which, as you said, is the second largest in the country.
So looking closer at these leavers, if these young, educated people aren't interested in making a life in their native Wisconsin, where are they going?
Well, they're going to a number of states. Minnesota is the state where we saw the biggest, the highest percentage of college-educated Wisconsinites moving to. Is about 17 or 18% of the total. But they're also moving to western and southern states like California, Colorado, Texas. So some fast-growing states, some warmer states, you know, and some of that, you know, it's hard to compete with in some ways, but you know, there are other ways that Wisconsin can be competitive, and we're doing pretty well within the Midwest, with the exception of Minnesota.
And your report, it cites that these Wisconsin-born adults who've moved to other states, they're more likely to be college-educated than their counterparts, the people who have settled here from another state. What can you tell us about that education level trade-off?
Yeah, so about 60% of Wisconsin-born adults who are in their 30s, we really focused on adults in their 30s, mm-hmm. because they are, you know, they've completed college, they're so early in their careers. And so about 60% of those born in Wisconsin, now in their 30s and live in another state, have a bachelor's degree or higher, and only about 45% of those who were born in other states, moved into Wisconsin, are in their 30s, have that college degree. So it's a pretty big gap. Is that did I answer your question?
Yes, it is. It seems as if the educated young adults, they're more of those are moving out, and yet we're not receiving that same influx of education level here. How does this loss of college educated workers affect the economy here in Wisconsin? What are the ripple effects?
Well, so our previous research found that a majority of job openings in Wisconsin that pay at least $50,000 per year and were expected to open up by 2030 are in occupations that typically require bachelor's or advanced degrees. So that is so it's really important to have the workers to fill those roles as they come available. And, you know, we also found that job growth during the 2010s was primarily in those occupations that tend to require bachelor's and advanced degrees. So that's kind of the direction the economy has been heading. And also that during the pandemic, those jobs that are higher paying tend to require degrees were more durable, meaning they were far less likely to have been lost during the pandemic relative to lower paying jobs that were less likely to require a degree.
So other states are also grappling with brain drain. What are some steps that other states have taken that policymakers here in Wisconsin could consider?
Well, we did look at a couple of examples. For example, in Ohio, they have been discounting mortgage rates for recent college graduates to try to, retain them in that state. Minnesota has a network of organizations that work to recruit people to move to rural areas of Minnesota, which has shown some promise. Some states use tax-based incentives for recent college graduates to try to retain them. So those are just some of the examples we found from other states.
Do you anticipate this trend could continue? You've documented this brain drain for quite some time.
Right. We did the same analysis looking at data from 2009. So that would have been people in their 30s back in 2009. And at that time, when we looked at the difference, again, we found Wisconsin had the biggest gap in college attainment between those leavers and entrants. So this is a longstanding challenge. I want to point out, though, that some of the there are some advantages Wisconsin has that have weakened the impact of this brain drain, and so that's positive and are things that we should try to continue, which is that we outperform the nation on college completion in general. So among people born in Wisconsin, they're more likely to earn a college degree, whether they stay in Wisconsin or move to another state, than the national average. So that helps because we start in a stronger position. And so even though we're losing some of those adults, we end up looking pretty average on educational attainment.
Joe, thank you for the research. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you again.
We've been talking with Joe Pietrangelo, Research Director for the Wisconsin Policy Forum, co-author of this new report finding that Wisconsin has among the worst brain drain in the country. Now for a look at how the departure of highly educated people from our state affects local economies, we're joined by Tessa Conroy. She's an associate professor of agriculture and applied economics at UW-Madison and an economic development specialist with UW Extension. Tessa, thanks for being here.
Of course. Good morning. It's good to be here.
Brain drain often discussed in terms of cities, large metro areas losing out on skilled workers. How does this affect rural communities?
Yeah, I think rural communities have been worried about this for a long time. It can be a hard pill to swallow for rural communities and rural families to see some of their talented young people leave and never come back. Especially at a moment when rural communities are hurting for healthcare professionals, veterinarians, lawyers, teachers, and filling local leadership positions. And even when it comes to school enrollment, thinking about how do we get enough kids here to keep our schools open. So this loss is really felt in the experience of living in these communities. It can be harder to access some of those services to keep some of those anchor institutions in place.
So the pandemic era really changed everything with work from home. How does remote work fit into the issue of brain drain?
Yeah, I think that that has changed the way people think about living in rural areas. I think it's a lot more tractable to live in a rural area, but have your employer be somewhere else. Workers are a little less anchored than they used to be. And I think that's exciting for rural communities. I think the potential exists for young people to leave to get the training and some of the experiences that aren't available locally, but then want to come home to their community. And I think the focus for a lot of rural communities is just creating that place that we call them boomerang migrants, that those young people that leave that they want to come back to, that they are desirable, that they have all of those amenities and that quality of life that young workers are seeking.
Talk more about that quality of life, because when these boomerangs come back to their roots, they've come back with more education. They've seen other different parts of the country or perhaps the world. They've seen different systems of living. How can that impact their local community?
I think it's really impactful. They're bringing back with them the ability to provide essential services. I mentioned healthcare professionals, I mentioned teachers, lawyers, veterinarians. Those are all really important for rural communities. Pharmacists is something that we've been talking about more and more. So coming back with the ability to provide some of those services and then inform leadership too. A lot of our rural communities rely on volunteers in different capacities. And so bringing a unique perspective, coming in with some ideas can be really beneficial for rural communities.
There seems to be this notion that if you create the jobs, the people will come. But Tessa, there's a lot of rural communities in the state that are really struggling to fill open positions. What is the disconnect that's happening there?
Absolutely. I think we're facing a long-run sort of structural labor shortage. And so more and more we're hearing communities say, we have more jobs than people to fill them right now. We need to attract residents. And that really changes the game. And a lot of communities, because of that, are thinking about, well, how do we attract and retain families and young people? And the focus becomes quality of life. We want to emphasize the fact that you can live here and know your neighbors. You can be closer to nature, get away from congestion. And they're starting to address those key aspects of life that make it possible to live easily in a place. And that can include childcare availability, for example. We're seeing communities come together and address childcare. Our school districts and our hospitals are getting involved in making childcare more available. We're seeing investments in parks and events that bring people together. So thinking more holistically about all of the things that make your community a nice place to live has really become front and center in rural development.
As we close here very quickly, our state's challenges with brain drain, they've been longstanding, well-documented, as stated in this policy forum report. Why can't we solve this?
I think part of it's to be expected that whether we're going from rural to urban or from Wisconsin to other states, part of it is just about workers moving to those large employment centers. Mm-hmm. Cities just offer more jobs and a more variety of jobs. So I expect that will continue to be attractive. When we look at the big cities in Wisconsin, they're just not in the same weight class as some of the big cities in our neighbors. And so I expect those will continue to be attractive, but that doesn't necessarily mean that Wisconsin is failing or not doing well. When we look at those quality of life metrics that I mentioned before, when we look at livability, Wisconsin really has a lot to offer.
Tessa, thank you so much for joining us. Tessa Conroy, Associate Professor of Agriculture and Applied Economics at UW-Madison. Earlier, we heard from Joe Pietrangelo, Research Director at the Wisconsin Policy Forum.